How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here to talk all of the news. We're going to be talking all of the news in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, and boxing. Michael, give us an update on the Floyd Mayweather fight last night for probably about the zero of you that follow pro wrestling mixed martial arts that don't know what happened last night, but we'll talk about that. Plus, a lot of news. Next week is the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view, and of course, there is a big Brock Lesnar-John Cena match for the title, and anything can happen in the WWE. I've been hearing a lot of things this past week. Some of them rather disconcerting about that potential match. So we're going to talk about that, as well as the NXT TakeOver special, which took place on Thursday night. An excellent show. Impact was an excellent show as well. So we'll talk about both of those. Preview of Night of Champions. And of course, there was a UFC event last night as well. Bigfoot Silva knocked out by Andre Arlovsky. We'll talk a lot of UFC as well. And of course, as always, we will take your phone calls. A lot of different ways to contact us here on the program. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we are at Brian Alvarez, as well as at Semper Vivi, so you can tweet us there. The website, WrestlingObserver.com. Everything you need to know about this show is up there if you missed the phone number. That is up at WrestlingObserver.com as well, plus links to all of the Twitter handles and everything like that. And of course, if you want to send me an email, Brian at WrestlingObserver.com is the email address. So obviously, a lot of things to get into today. If you head to WrestlingObserver.com, you can get a quick look at all of the news. And obviously, we're going to talk Raw tomorrow as well. So stick around, everybody. We'll kick it off after the first break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Mike, what's going on?
Not too much, Brian. How are you?
I was out camping this weekend, so I'm a little behind on my combat sports viewing. I missed UFC. I missed Mayweather, although apparently I didn't miss much. Usual Mayweather fight. So we got that, we got those things to talk about. But first off, the good news, I guess, is that these things happen a lot less frequently than they used to. The bad news is they do still happen. We are here to report the death of Sean O'Hare as the result of a reported suicide in his home. Sean O'Hare, of course, was first made his name in WCW. He came out of the power plant and became a tag team with Mark Jindrak. And they were actually pushed pretty big there at the very end of WCW. They ended up being signed by WWE. And eventually he got cut and became one of those guys that kind of went and he worked everywhere. He worked for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He worked for the Independents. He did K-1. He did MMA. He had a fight with Butterbean, of all people. A lot of different, he actually had, his official record is 4-2, although it is believed that he had a lot of low level fights that never ended up in any official record, but, 0-4, by the way, in kickboxing. So that was not his forte. He was a bar fighter and, he'd had a lot of problems. Apparently he had been in and out of rehab 6 times. In the last 6 years, all of which were paid for by WWE. And allegedly, WWE had tried to get in contact with him to see if there was more that they could do, and he never returned their calls. And just a few days ago, was found in his Spartanburg, South Carolina home. He had hanged himself on a bedpost. And Mike, any memories of Sean O'Hare?
He was, when he first started in WCW, you know, there was a lot of nonsense that was going on at the time, and they brought out a bunch of new guys, as you talked about, Mark Jindrak, Sean O'Hare, Chuck Palumbo, Mike Sanders. He was in that group, the Natural Born Thrillers, and, you know, he was a guy for his size. I mean, he was an incredible athlete for his size. I think he was like 6'6". And 270 pounds, but he moved so fluidly, and he moved with great grace for somebody of his size and somebody to be as green as he was. And he looked like an absolute no-brainer when WCW was bought by the WWF. He was one of the guys that was picked up and seemed to be outside of the initial problem that they had with lots of WCW guys, especially the younger ones trying to acclimate themselves to the WWF system. Figure he'd be sent down to Ohio Valley to Heartland Wrestling. I think he was sent down to Ohio Valley, which was their training facility at the time. And you figured, okay, they're going to have something for this guy. And they seemed to. They had this very, very dark, odd kind of devil's advocate gimmick that he was doing alongside Roddy Piper. And then Piper was suddenly fired. And from there, it just things went completely south for him. He bounced around to a couple other places, as you talked about, got involved in K1, fought a fight in Pride against Butterbean, and just never got out of the rut he was in. Was always talked about how many bar fights he would get into. He worked as a bouncer in South Carolina, and he was constantly into fights down there, and just he never... It just seemed to be a guy with a $1 million body and with a ton of potential, a great look, good looking, whole nine yards, just never panned out.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's catch everybody up to speed on the weekend, the fight game. Really don't know anything else about Sean O'Hare. We presumably will in a few weeks as they do toxicology reports and that sort of thing. But until we know more, we'll move on here. Mayweather last night, as well as the UFC show. Let's get our combat sports report here, Mike.
Well, you know, you talked about you didn't miss anything with the Mayweather fight. You really didn't miss anything with the UFC either. You certainly didn't miss anything with the pay-per-view. It was awful. Just a bad show. Floyd Mayweather and Marcos Maidana fighting in a rematch from this past May. And Mayweather won easily, clear unanimous decision victory for him at the MGM Grand Garden last night, won 116, 111 on one score, or two scorecards, and 115, 112 on the other. Maidana's success in the first fight was coming after Floyd, kind of getting in there, roughing Floyd up a little bit. I don't want to say dirty fighting, but definitely pushing himself inside, hitting to the legs, getting inside on him, and just not giving Floyd a chance to counterpunch. That wasn't the case in this fight, as Floyd circled backwards the whole time, using a left jab and a straight right to counter Maidana's swings. And when Maidana was able to get in there, Floyd would immediately clinch on him, which caused some issues with the referee, Kenny Bayless, unfortunately not from Maidana's corner, who didn't seem to politic to Kenny Bayless about it at all. But it was very annoying to watch on TV, and the announcers pointed it out repeatedly how immediately, as soon as he would get close, Mayweather would clinch, Bayless would break him up, not give him a chance to fight or get out of it, and the whole cycle would spin and repeat again. And it ended up being the last fight on a four-fight show that was awful. It was one of the worst big show pay-per-views when it comes to boxing in a long, long time, and that's saying something because so little emphasis is put on the pay-per-view itself. But it was horrendous. The semi-main event saw Leo Santa Cruz, who is a very good up-and-coming super bantamweight, undefeated super bantamweight champion at 122 pounds, a very good fighter. But they put him in a showcase against a guy who was making, I believe, $50,000, a guy by the name of Manuel Roman. And he didn't even get a chance to give himself a proper showcase. He hit him with a right hand over the left ear, put him down and out, and that was it. it was a poor show, and a show that for $70 – there's a lot of people I saw today kind of looking at this, and I've been for the entire time he's been signed to CBS and to Showtime, I don't think they've gotten anywhere near their money's worth out of this deal. They try to hype it up and say that they have had and try to put a positive spin on things, but you saw it this morning a lot out there that the bloom is definitely off the rose when it comes to Floyd Mayweather, and he does have a big international fight as far as fans in the United Kingdom go, in that he may be fighting Amir Khan next, but realistically, that fight doesn't really get anybody excited in the United States at all, and there's two fights left on this deal. Manny Pacquiao seems to be nowhere around, and they won't be facing off against each other. So it'll be interesting to see what his pay-per-view buys are after this, because I cannot see this one doing very well. And because of how poor the performance and the entire show was, I can't see the next two doing very well.
So is he really doing two more fights and he's out of here?
Well, I think he'll actually do one more after the deal to the highest bidder so he can get 50 fights in under his belt. He's at 47 right now. He's got two to go on the Showtime deal. And I could see him maybe going 49-0 and then picking somebody, no matter who it is, to finish with a tidy 50-0 record and just give it to the highest bidder, whether it be Showtime, HBO, or whoever.
Who in boxing is in his is anyone even near the stratosphere of Mayweather in terms of potentially having a 50-0 record and retiring?
Not right now, I don't believe. I'd have to kind of double check and see some of the guys in the lighter weight classes. There may be a guy like there was a guy by the name of Ricardo Lopez, who was a strawweight a couple years ago, that I believe finished with an undefeated record. He's in the Hall of Fame now. But if it is somebody, it's going to be somebody like that who they're just not going to have the impact in the States, and they're not going to have the impact from a marketing point of view they'll make it a big deal. They'll just be an undefeated fighter and maybe big in the boxing world, but that's it.
So who will go down in history as the greatest boxer of all time?
For me, it's still Sugar Ray Robinson. And I think a lot of Floyd Mayweather supporters are trying to justify the fact that they spent $70 on a god-awful pay-per-view because, hey, we're seeing the end of one of the greatest fighters of all time. I guess you can make a case for Floyd Mayweather. I don't see even Brian Kenny last night, the host of the show, who was on ESPN for a long time, who's now on NBC Sports, I believe it is, and on the MLB Network, said, I don't see how he's maybe approaching the top 20 of all time, but he's not in the top five. And I agree with that as well. I think you can firmly put him in the top 20. But when you have guys like Sugar Ray Robinson and Henry Armstrong and, so many fighters from the dawn of the Marcus of Queensberry rules, I don't see where Floyd fits in, especially because he's always going to have an asterisk on his record that he did not fight Manny Pacquiao.
Where will boxing be after Floyd retires?
In trouble when it comes to having a big pay-per-view draw or a pay-per-view draw of any kind. Canelo Alvarez is out there, obviously.
Actually, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Mike. Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Call right now, toll free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. International callers can reach us using our Skype line at F4W Online.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, you heard the man. Call right now, 855-478-4478. I know there's football on today. That should not deter you from calling the program. I know this because I came home from camping and my neighbor, there are cars lining the streets. And I can hear every now and then people will just start screaming in the house. So either there's a football game going on or some great tragedy, but it's been happening for a while now. So I've been alerted, Mike, that maybe people may be too distracted to call. But
I don't know, the way the Seahawks were playing in the first half, it was kind of a tragedy.
Was it really? Was it bad?
They just didn't look good. Percy Harvin looked great, but that's about it.
Well, look, someone's already on the line, so we got at least one non-football fan calling. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much. I've just been digesting some of the recent stuff with Vince Russo, and it seems every time man opens his mouth, he constantly always has a revisionist sense of history. Am I the only one who feels...
You know, some people have this desire to constantly take on Vince Russo. I am so past caring that I will simply answer that yes, he has a tendency to revise history, and then ask you if you had anything else you want to talk about.
Okay, my question is this Lucha Underground thing that you guys have been writing about, is this really as poor as it sounds?
Well, they've got tapings. I think they did tapings last night and tonight. And the impression that I got was the very first set of tapings, it was very similar to the old Wrestling Society X. It was more independent wrestling than it was Lucha Libre. And I got the impression that a lot of Lucha fans were unhappy. And so I believe that they have gotten some more luchadors in for the newest set of tapings. And this latest set has been more lucha-oriented. So it seems to be kind of like a work in progress. It's hard, like, when people read the spoilers, it doesn't sound very exciting to them. But I have heard from people who attended who had a good time. So really the best I can say is we have to wait until it airs on El Rey, and then we can kind of decide.
I mean, I'm one of those people, I like to try to give everything a chance. I mean, I follow as much as I can in both mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. And, you know, I never want to, you know, completely crap on it, anything right out of the gate, but I always want to wait and give it at least 3 or 4 good looks, you know. It just, you know, from what I'm hearing thus far, though, it's just sound very underwhelming. So I just wanted to check and see if maybe my conclusions weren't too far off base, or if I should give it a little bit more of a chance.
Well, I think you should watch a few episodes and give it a chance, because, if you were hoping that it was certainly for real going to be a AAA invasion of America, it's not going to be that. But if you're just looking for another alternative product that features some lucha on a television channel that maybe you can get, you should give it a shot.
I have that, and I'll definitely give it a chance. I'd really like to see everybody do well. I mean, the more places there are to work, the better it is for all the guys in the wrestling business. And so I'm all for that.
Well, that is certainly the case. I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, anything to add to that?
Not really, other than it will be interesting to see how everything is kind of laid out and how the production, where I'm kind of interested to see how this thing is actually going to be framed for viewers, because it is Mark Burnett and obviously the director, Robert Rodriguez from El Mariachi and everything, that they have their hands in this too, where I don't foresee it being exactly like a traditional wrestling show, but it'll be interesting to see some of the spin that they put on it and some of the, again, the edits and reality show TV type of stuff. It'll just be very interesting to see how this thing is ultimately presented in October.
You know, I said I wasn't going to talk about him. I'm going to say one thing about Vince Russo here, and the only reason I'm saying this is because I'm going to build it into a plug. I have no idea why anyone is talking about Vince Russo in 2014. It blows my mind. He's got a website. He's doing his shows. If you want to hear from Vince Russo, then head over to Pyro and Ballyhoo and sign up, and then be done with it. And if he said something wacky or stupid, hey, you signed up for it, so you signed up for it. And other than that, I really don't want to hear about it. I'm done with this subject. And my plug is that if you want to know more about the real history of WCW, we are 1 month away from the reissue of Death of WCW. And yes, we are still talking about WCW in 2014. It's the 10-year anniversary edition of the book. It is coming out in exactly 1 month. You can get it on Amazon.com. It is available in hardcover, softcover, and a Kindle version. It is the Death of WCW 10-year anniversary edition. If you hear Vince Russo saying something stupid, you don't have to call this show to debate it. Just go to Amazon and buy the book and read all about it. So, there you go. Mike, tell me about UFC last night. I heard that that Andre Arlovsky looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did. And it was, you know, there was a lot of talk going into the bout of how much this guy had left and everything. He's been working with Greg Jackson. And there was really question over both him and Bigfoot Silva, how much both of them had in the tank. Obviously, Bigfoot Silva does not get a chance to have a testosterone replacement therapy, therapeutic use exemption anymore, even though with his gigantism, you know, you can make a case of why he would definitely need it. Now, obviously, there's the other side of that, which says if you need something like this, maybe you shouldn't be in fighting. And it'll be interesting to see where his career goes, even maybe more than Arlovsky's, because Arlovsky, at least, if nothing else, and for those who didn't see it last night, and there probably were a lot of people who didn't see it, Orlovsky just nailed him with a punch, a right hand, and slammed him with some punches on the ground, two or three right hands, and he was pulled off, and that was it in 2 minutes and 59 seconds of the first round. But they have that big fight in Japan coming up where, if nothing else, you could do the winner of Mark Hunt and Roy Nelson against Andre Arlovsky, because it would be a slobber knocker no matter where you put it on, whether it would be on a Fox Sports show or have it on a pay-per-view or something like that. It would be something that would garner attention because it would be a name value on either one of the guys and Arlovsky in there, and you know it will probably end in a knockout, probably rather spectacularly. So you have an option with him there. You also have an option to possibly put him into the title picture because they're so thin at heavyweight, and he does have a name, and he is a former champion. You have this little.
I like your other idea better. First off, well, Mark Hunt versus Roy Nelson.
That is taking place in Japan. By the way, they are calling that show UFC Fight Passamania. They are very excited and thinking that show is going to break the Irish show for the amount of eyeballs on Fight Pass.
They're probably right, but what a waste. Why would you put that match on Fight Pass? Roy Nelson and Mark Hunt, that's a winner of a main event right there.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, them going to Saitama Super Arena, if there was going to be any nod to pride whatsoever, having those two guys in a ring knocking each other out would probably be the way to go.
Hey, if you want an ode to pride, they may as well make it a three-way, and you could throw Arlovsky in there. How about that idea?
You know, who knows? There's still a possibility. I think something wacky is going to happen with Misha Tate and Rin Nakai. That's supposed to be taking place on that show, too. Who I will just throw it out there. If anybody wants to know who Rin Nakai is, YouTube Rin Nakai. You don't necessarily have to look at her fights. Look at some of the promotional stuff that she's done.
Make sure your safe search is off when you do this, everybody.
Oh, yeah. She's unless an you're at work. Character, and I still can't believe, and I'm not throwing accusations out there at anybody. I don't know how that fight's even going to go off. That is. Again, if anybody out there would like to go look at her and look at the still pictures of her, she is a very well-looking girl.
I see. I've just been distracted by this topic, but what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I was going to say. You know who else used to do three-way battles?
Hook and shoot?
Hickson.
Did he know?
He would take on two men at the same time.
Well, would that be part of trying to get a black belt or something like that? Or that's just him demonstrating good his jiu-jitsu was?
Exactly, and he would beat them. So I recommend we start bringing some stuff like this back. Listen, if we're gonna we need to bring in the tag team matches. We need to bring in the three ways.
Now that was a hook and shoot thing from Jeff Osborne. Would have tag team MMA.
Yeah,
matches.
I saw them. They were awesome. They were awesome because they did them exactly like pro wrestling, in that when you made a tag, you had 5 seconds before you would be disqualified. And so there were 5 seconds of double teaming before the tag partner would get out of the ring. They were exactly like pro wrestling tag team rules. They were in a ring. It was so great. This was back in, it's probably in about 2000, 2001, but I remember going to a show and not only was there a tag team match, but it was scheduled to be Bob Sapp's MMA debut, but he ended up getting signed to Japan, and so he didn't fight on the show.
1 minute.
He was just a football player there at the time. So, I'm a big proponent of bringing in some different sort of gimmicks for mixed martial arts. So many shows, so many guys. We need something to capture people's attention when you don't have a Mark Hunt versus Roy Nelson main event. When we come back, everybody, we're about to head to a break. We've got a lot of news about WWE to talk about. There was a great WWE NXT TakeOver event on Thursday. We can talk about that. And, of course, the WWE Night of the Champions shows is upcoming. And the big question is John Cena going to get his win back over Brock Lesnar? And you may be surprised by what's going on. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Call right now, toll free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. International callers can reach us using our Skype line at F4W Online.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, if you love this show and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out daily radio shows at WrestlingObserver.com. In fact, on most days, we do two per day on the website. Today is one of those days. Later on tonight, Vinny and I are going to be back. We're going to be talking about SmackDown, as well as, yes, our weekly Total Divas review. My buddy Wang, who is supposed to be reviewing the program with me, he is not in town tonight. He's at a Jay-Z concert, I believe. And so Vinny is being forced to watch Total Divas tonight. So that is worth the price of admission itself. It's coming up later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, as is the case with the WWE Network. If you sign up long-term, it is only $9.99 a month. The difference between us and the WWE Network is that we have over 6,000 hours of audio in our library, which is approximately three times the amount of content that the WWE Network has available right now. So, if you love this show and you want to hear every single solitary show, God knows why, that we have done dating back to 2005, every single one of them is available in the archives. You will never run out of wrestling audio if you sign up for the website. Not only do you get all of the brand new shows and the archives, but you get full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter and archives, which Dave has been publishing since 1983, and the Figure Four Weekly, which just passed issue 1,000. Virtually every issue, at least since the past decade or so, is available on the website. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today. You will not regret it. If you sign up, you can send me a shout-out, which I will read on the Tuesday Brian and Vinny show. So sign up today and take advantage of that. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Oh, Jim, what's up?
I was just wondering, have you seen Havoc yet on TNA? What did you think of her?
I have seen Havoc. I think they are doing a good job with her debut. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much of her. I mean, she's beat up some girls, but I haven't seen her do a match yet. But what they have done to debut her is it's fine. She's beaten everybody up, you know, effective.
I think so, too. I've really been impressed with her, you know, with the air raid crashes and turning into Gail Kim and the other top knockouts. And I've been really impressed with the way they're working it, too.
What do you think of Havoc, Mike? Have you seen her on Impact?
I have not yet, no.
That's right. Mike can't watch the girls on Impact, Jim. Did you know that?
I don't know why. Does it get him excited?
I mean, it may if he watched them, but it's more an issue that he canceled his cable.
Yes, I've cut the cord, and in cutting the cord, there's no good option, and I'm always a week behind on watching Spike, and sometimes I forget to go to their website and watch it. In fact, often I forget to do that. I should probably make a habit out of it again, just so I could see the pictures of the calendar that they have up with all of the knockouts, so I could see more Taryn Terrell and Rebel, which I'm completely fine with.
Man.
Well, let me ask you another question. Any updates on TNA's status as far as getting a new TV deal?
They allegedly are talking to four different networks, none of which are anywhere near the size of Spike TV. So we're talking, my understanding is that the places that they're talking to, the coverage would be roughly that of what ROH gets nationwide. So maybe 35, 40 million people would have access to it. Right now, they're in about 100 million homes. So over half of the TNA audience would likely lose access to the show. But Dixie's talking like, you know, we're good to go. We're going to have this new deal. It is not going to be on Spike TV. I will not say I will stake my reputation, but I would tell you I am 99% sure that regardless of what anybody says officially, this show will not remain on Spike TV. Where it will go from here, I have absolutely no idea, but it's probably going to end up somewhere for a while at least.
Well, I heard rumors that it might end up on the former HD net. What's it called? AXS?
Oh, AXS? I had not heard that one, but it's entirely possible.
And it would make a lot of sense, but it only takes looking back at Ring of Honor, who was creatively having really good pay-per-views and having really good things go on at the time, and you see the lack of reach that they had while being on HDNet, and it's not anybody's fault or anything like that. It's just most cable systems don't have HDNet, and even if all of them were to pick them up just suddenly, still doesn't mean that Impact's going to have, frankly, any impact at all.
All right, y'all have a good one now.
All right, thank you, Jim. You know, it is amazing when I really think about it. I'll talk about this after the next call, but when I look at it, how WWE and UFC are both running their Fight Pass / WWE Network, and they're both doing them completely opposite, it kind of amazes me. I'll talk about this in a moment. First off, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John from New Jersey.
John, what's up?
Hey, just want to make the case for CM Punk in the Observer Hall of Fame.
All right, let's hear it.
So I understand that, you know, his influence as a draw may not be as on the level of a John Cena, but I think that interesting, one of the things that you're supposed to look at is influence. And I wonder, you know, looking at the landscape now from when he cut that promo in 2011, how much he influenced the product. I think with, you know, looking at developmental with Kevin Steen being signed and Sami Zayn and also Daniel Bryan, I think Punk made an influence on the product. I think he opened eyes towards a different look for a top guy. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, here's the problem with your argument there. You are going to have to convince people that it was because of CM Punk that Kenta and Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn and all of these guys have been signed. And someone could easily come forward and say, you know, Punk may have had something to do with it, but another guy who got over really, really big was Daniel Bryan. And another guy that they gave chances to were The Shield, and they got over huge. So maybe it was these guys as much as Punk, or maybe it had nothing to do with CM Punk. You would also have people arguing that whether CM Punk existed or not, the way the wrestling business is nowadays, this is the way it had to evolve. It had to evolve into grabbing the best guys off the indie scene, because otherwise, where's all the talent going to come from? So it would be a tough argument to make. Mike,
it was almost like a philosophical correction, realistically. And you could say CM Punk was one of the first ones to be part of that correction before they even knew it was taking place. But, you know, signing guys like Willie Mack and Sammy Callahan and John Moxley, who's now Dean Ambrose, and Tyler Black, who's now Seth Rollins, and, you know, all that came from the fact that it basically came out of necessity. And guys like Devitt and Kenta and Kevin Steen, it's because they tried an approach that did not work. So they went back to doing what they historically have always done, which was take guys off the indie scene and then go out and try to develop them. And I think the other problem that you may have there too with CM Punk and influence is when you look at the guys who are on the ballot and you look at teams like the Assassins, and you look at the Anderson brothers and have the influence they have, and Ivan Koloff and Dick Murdoch and the Rock and Roll Express and Sergeant Slaughter. None of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. They're all on the ballot for this year. So you have this, you know, again, it's tough, you know, and I can see a lot of people this year. It's very interesting, and they're going to make their cases for CM Punk. But you have CM Punk in one hand, you have Edge in the other. You know, and again, somebody who is a vehement Edge supporter is going to say, look what he did always on the main stage where CM Punk was in ROH, and that, sure, they shouldn't take away from that, but look what Edge did. It's all subjective and it's all up in the air, and I just think that if you're going to use influence as one of those things, yes, CM Punk was able to get out there and reach people far more than a lot of people have because of the way that WWE is. We see it now with Paul Heyman. They're the only guy who can really cut a good promo in WWE right now and reach out and transcend that cartoon show that they have and the repetitivism, you know, that they do have. It's Paul Heyman, and CM Punk was able to do that to a point, but does that make him a Hall of Famer? I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, I just look back to that summer of 2011. You think where the top heel was The Miz, and I feel like with Punk's influence in that, just in that summer alone, he changed the dynamic of a lot of that year. And I think, I guess it's all subjective, it's all philosophical, but I feel that a lot of things changed, and I think that a lot of it was because of his influence, his style of promo, and also his work. I think that, I think in general, his work over the past, his last year, the match with Undertaker with Brock Lesnar, all his matches with John Cena, they were all, 4 stars and 5-star matches. I just think he has really great influence. Outside of John Cena, I think over the past 10 years, he's probably one of the best candidates.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. The voting period is open. I do not think I will be voting for Punk into the Hall of Fame. His run as a main eventer in a major organization was very short. And when I really, as far as even like influence, the further away we get from 2014, the more this question will be answered. But when I look back now, it's like, if CM Punk didn't exist, would the business right now be significantly different than it is? And I don't think the answer is yes. I look at some of the guys that aren't in. All those names that you mentioned. How many legendary wrestlers have raved about Dick Murdoch and he's not in? Maybe someday we will have a generation of new wrestlers that all talk about how they got into wrestling because of CM Punk. But I don't know. I don't know if he had that sort of influence. And when you look at everything else that goes into becoming a Hall of Famer in the Observer Hall of Fame, drawing power and everything like that, I don't see him having any of that either. So
I'll be really interested to see where... Jerry Jarrett gets hurt every year because it was a terrible payoff, man, even though to me he would be a no-brainer to be in. But there's still old wrestlers that are never going to vote for him because they thought he ripped him off. It will be very interesting to see where a lot of wrestlers themselves play CM Punk, because as great of a talent as he is and as skilled and as smart as he was, he could also be, by all accounts, a very obstreperous prick. And he's rubbed people the wrong way throughout his time. And he stood up for himself and he's headstrong, but you're going to create enemies that way too. And there are a lot of people who are very upset with the way he walked out of the company and treated people, some people inside that company. So I'll be actually interested to see where his levels are when it comes to the guys, to his peers and the people he's worked with.
Maybe the numbers will be really high, but my guess is they will be really low. But I guess we shall see. We can talk more about the Observer Hall of Fame as we go along. But I have been promising to talk about Night of Champions. That's going to be coming up here in a little while as well. We got 2 hours here, everybody, and we're going to head to a break. But when we come back, we'll obviously have a lot more. We'll take your phone calls, 855-478-4478. Don't forget, you can contact us on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. If you don't feel like calling in, but you want your voice to be heard, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter, at Semper Vivi on Twitter. And, of course, you can send me an email, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. We'll go through the email bin and check some of those out as well. So more when we come back from the break, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, we're here every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific. I know football is on today, but that should not deter you from listening to this program here. And in the next hour, it'll be your opportunity to call and let us know what you think about any of these topics. Ed here on Twitter was very upset about the... CM Punk caller. He says, tell this dude one year does not make a Hall of Fame. And
2 minutes.
I don't know what he means by that exactly. Because
I think because of the summer of Punk, I think a lot of people glorify his position.
Glamping?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, he was on top for longer than that, but he had one. He was the longest reigning champion in a decade or whatever they called it, a generation, I don't even remember. But, even during that period, he was still ranked below John Cena. How many John Cena main events were there above CM Punk as champion? More than one if I recall correctly. But this is an argument for another day. If you'd like to, if you would like to put in an argument for or against CM Punk or anybody in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame balloting, you are welcome to do so. If you're a subscriber to the website, obviously the full ballot is in the Observer, so you can actually the ballot is not in the Observer. I apologize for that, but the ballot's out there if you want to find it. And if you've got any comments, you can comment on that. Mike, have you submitted your ballot yet?
I have not. No, I'm surprised to hear how many early ballots have come in. I've been chewing over and doing some more research, so I've been a little slower than the rest.
That's right. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back after the top of the hour, it will be news on WWE Night of Champions, as well as everything else. So stick around, everybody. Back in seven, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for another hour. Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we are here live every Sunday at 3 Pacific. We replay on Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss the first hour, you can check it out tomorrow, as well as replays at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, during the hourly break, I was perusing my Facebook, and man, one post after another about how much the Seahawks suck. What happened here today, Mike?
I see. I don't know. I missed the second half of it here because I jumped on and did the show, but they just looked very bad. And I think some of the hangover and malaise from the Super Bowl, they came out week one. They looked fantastic. Didn't look like they would miss a beat. And maybe it was just time for a come down game. And surprising by getting surprised by San Diego here.
Man, thank God I'm here in this house and not over there by the neighbors. Maybe all the screaming was some sort of tragedy taking place.
Your friend Craig is very upset right now.
Well, you know what? He has nothing to complain about because he's been eating steaks all day.
That's true. He is rubbing that in on Facebook, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a big baller now.
I ate a bunch of steaks. Yeah, well, you got your steaks, so quit crying about the game. But anyway, hey, that means everybody... I have been alerted that these games are now ending, so now is a perfect opportunity for you to call in. We are going to head to our hourly break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about WWE Night of Champions and a number of other topics as well. And if you would like to call in, 855-478-4478. Phone lines open after this break. So back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. It is Sunday, and so besides football, that means that tomorrow is Monday, and thus it is Monday Night Raw. And we have been alerted that Raw is currently unwritten. I know that is a shock to wrestling fans worldwide that have followed this program for a long time. So far, we know that Brock Lesnar is going to be on the show, and he's going to be doing some sort of deal with John Cena. And there are a lot of other possibilities as well. Perhaps there is a Divas tag match. We may get Rollins and Orton versus Jericho and Reigns, Dolph versus Cesaro, and another angle with Rusev and Henry. It is the go-home show for Night of Champions, and we're going to start talking about that in just a moment. But first off, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
What's up, Ed?
Okay, I do want to talk about the Hall of Fame, and I want to kind of agree with what Dave was saying last night on his show with Shemp, and that is, for the people who
did you call him Shemp, like one of the Three Stooges?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
I can't.
That would make him Curly Mo, by the way. But go ahead, Ed.
Well, he was more popular than Shemp, but. Basically, like, the people who want, like, CM Punk or Sting, to me, these are the two biggest examples, so I'll use them. If you haven't in your whole long career haven't done as much as Kerry Von Erich and the Junkyard Dog did in 5 years, you don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Just because someone's your favorite wrestler, it doesn't make him a Hall of Famer, you know? If you look at guys like Sergeant Slaughter, Junkyard Dog, Kerry Von Erich, in 5 years, they drew more money than Sting and CM Punk did their whole career. You know, they sold out more places than Sting or CM Punk had done their whole career. And they did it on a regional level. So, you know, just because, like I say, this guy had, you know, he's a big CM Punk fan and he had that big year. He doesn't make the guy a Hall of Famer, you know. I think Edge is kind of close to being Hall of Famer.
I have no idea how Edge is not in, but Chris Jericho is. If Jericho's in, then Edge should be in. They have virtually identical careers, although Edge did not have Wrestler of the Year twice, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. And also, I also think that people like Moolah should be in the Hall of Fame just because of their historical importance. I mean, everybody knows who Moolah is. She did do, maybe she didn't do a lot of money, but she was influential, trained wrestlers, booked all the women. You know, people like her, and also I do think Dick Murdoch should go in, you know, over guys like CM Punk or Sting just because they're newer.
You know, and another thing is with CM Punk, too, and I, in 2004, when I was doing a podcast, it came up, if you were a Ring of Honor fan, and you were a hardcore Ring of Honor fan, the best match to that point you had probably ever seen inside the company was CM Punk and Samoa Joe 2. And a lot of people look at that as, you know, what a great match it was. And I'm not, look, if you're a ROH fan, I would say you absolutely should have voted that match of the year. There were so many other great matches in pro wrestling. Noah, even in the WWF, I think Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H at WrestleMania won the match of the year there. There are a lot of people that just, his exploits on the indie scene, it's not like it was back when there were territories. It's for a lot of people, it's not going to resonate because they never saw it. And obviously it shouldn't take away. I mean, the work that he and Nigel McGuinness and Austin Aries and Bryan Danielson and all these guys did in Ring of Honor, it's important. But I think there's probably a number of fans who grew up with Ring of Honor who maybe place more importance on that than necessarily should be. And again, I'm not saying that's the case, but I would assume that that's something that they would bring up. And the response to that is going to be how many people, again, as great as Ring of Honor was, especially at that time, how many people actually saw this, and how many, you know, it did influence a lot of wrestlers maybe, that, and it did influence a certain number of fans, but to the level that an Edge did, or to the level that, you know, a Sting or an Ultimate Warrior did. It's hard to argue.
When CM Punk hit the 1 year mark of his title reign, and he was on his this was like, I don't know what year, maybe it was November or something like that, somewhere around November or December, he hit about the 1 year mark, and he was doing his promos, and I remember at the time thinking, you know what, if this dude has a few more years like this, I will consider voting him into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's retired. So to me, he just, it was not long enough. It was a good short run. I can't see it.
Let me throw something pro-Punk out there. I think for somebody that's going to try to argue for Punk, one of the things that they should probably bring up is the fact that in this day and age, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. People go to WWE shows without knowing the card. They buy events without really knowing who's on there. They tune in without knowing what's going to happen because they don't know what's going to happen because they don't write the show till, you know, the hours beforehand, and then they move it around a million times. But, you know, CM Punk sold merchandise. CM Punk stood out on his own. CM Punk, much like Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan, you know, is proof that if you work hard enough, stay in there long enough, you catch the right breaks at the right times, the cream will actually rise to the top. And I think, you know, his merchandise sales and lots of those things are things that are feathers in his cap in a time where outside of him, you got John Cena, you have very few other guys, though, that are, you know, great merchandise sellers on their own and have been people that have moved the needle when it comes to ratings and dollars. And technically he's done that. And in a tough day and age to do that, I think he would deserve credit for that. If you're looking at Punk.
Yeah, but he didn't move the ratings all that much, and he didn't move buy rates that much.
And nowhere in comparison to a John Cena, who's the ultimate mover.
And I'm not putting someone in the Hall of Fame because they sold a bunch of shirts.
Which is, and there's the argument against, I think, Sergeant Slaughter, because I think there's a lot of wrestling reasons you would put him in. But I think one of the arguments that you can make about Slaughter is the fact everybody knows him, the picture with Ronald Reagan, the G.I. Joe doll, the Wheaties box, all that stuff. And you'd say, well, God, you know, why wouldn't Sergeant Slaughter be in? And I think there's the fame aspect of the guys like Slaughter and Ultimate Warrior and Junkyard Dog and some guys like that where – you know, that's one of their main arguments is these are for the most part house, and I'm not saying household names, but for the most part, all wrestling fans would have probably, you know, they've heard of those guys, and they're not in.
Add
to that, look at how many times a year Kerry Von Erich or the Kerry Von Erich Ric Flair match will be asked on Wrestling Observer Radio.
I'm not putting someone in the Hall of Fame because people ask questions about them on Observer Radio either, Ed.
And you know what? There's a
your
great
Texas
angle
bias is coming through here.
There's a great angle thing too, because again, who would deserve? Obviously, it was done by the wrestlers and it worked out great. But would Gary Hart really deserve the credit for that more than even the wrestlers would because of how it was set up? So it's
that was for you, Ed.
Well, possibly. I mean, I think Gary Hart's done enough in his career to where he should be on the ballot. I don't know if he actually is Hall of Fame, but I mean, you do have a point as far as he was the architect behind that 5 years, and he did leave after the cage match, so you can't really say it was him the whole time. He just started it.
And there's a lot of wrestlers in the non-wrestling list, and Gary Hart's one of them, Jerry Jarrett's one of them, Gene Okerlund, Stanley Weston, the newspaper or the magazine magnate, Jesse Ventura, Bill Apter, Dave Brown.
How is Stanley Weston on this ballot and Dave Meltzer is not? I mean, I know
why, but Dave should be, although he'll never put himself on there. We'll have to drag him on there kicking and screaming. It'll be a committee thing to get him on there without him knowing it. But Stanley Weston.
I should tell Dave, I should give him the option. He can either put himself on the ballot and he'll either be voted in or not, or when he's no longer around, I will posthumously add him without his consent to the Hall of Fame. How about that for an option?
He'll fight that, but
except
you know
he
what?
May outlive me. It's very likely.
it's possible.
Anything else, Ed?
Yes, since I am now the official executive director of events for Wrestling Observer, when am I getting my ballot? I haven't gotten it yet.
A peek behind the curtain.
Oh, I knew this would come up eventually. Goodbye, Ed. I knew he'd try and sneak something in like that. I should have known. You know, I got to say
seconds.
Very quickly before we go to the break, I've always been kind of hung up on the Hall of Fame aspect. To me, if you're so famous that everyone knows who you are, shouldn't you just automatically be in the Hall of Fame? Isn't that what it's about? We'll talk about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got to talk about this Night of the Champions to everybody. If you want to call in, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. If you need the number, head to WrestlingObserver.com. It is up there. Mike, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena. There's been a lot of fantasy booking about this match, and I was hoping that Brock was going to hold the title through WrestleMania, but there has certainly been talk of late that Brock may not end up holding the title through WrestleMania, much less perhaps not even through this Sunday. And I know some people listening to this are going to think that that's completely crazy. And granted, I don't know what's going to happen. And in the case of WWE, there have been many Sundays where Vince McMahon, for whatever reason, decided he was going to change his mind and did change his mind. But you know what? If next Monday I wake up and John Cena is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, having beaten Brock Lesnar, I'm going to look back to SummerSlam and the way that Brock absolutely destroyed John Cena. And I'm going to say to myself, you know, I should have seen this coming. I should have seen it coming because the idea that John Cena was going to get completely obliterated by Brock Lesnar like he never has before in his entire career. Like Brock Lesnar would destroy him so badly and this would not end with John Cena getting his win back. It will seem like that's impossible to even conceive. Now, as I'm telling you all this right now, I cannot even conceive of them actually taking the title off Brock right now. But let's just say that it is in play, this idea, and we may have another John Cena title reign coming, or perhaps not. I guess we shall see how circumstances may turn out. But Mike, what do you think of the idea of taking the title potentially off Brock?
Why would you? It to me, it's so incredibly idiotic, and I understand that John Cena, again, it's not John Cena's fault that they have not created any other stars at his level. It's not John Cena's fault that there are some things that are John Cena's fault. I think he's got more creative control than he may let on to, and he will still go out there and verbatim cut these horrendous promos, even when it's not good for his character, like screaming he was going to sue 2 weeks ago. I understand that John Cena goes to hospitals and the Make-A-Wish stuff and the charities, and my kid likes John Cena. But he also likes Kofi Kingston. He's not at the top of the food chain in WWE.
Maybe Kofi Kingston should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's, you know, it's... They were given a gift with Brock Lesnar. They had screwed him up, I think, before losing to Triple H, losing to John Cena, even though he destroyed him in that, and just the wackiness that had taken place after that event where Cena did a going away speech and then never actually went away, and all the nonsense there. You had a special thing with Brock Lesnar defeating The Undertaker. You have this guy who's in place now that could be a special thing once a year, and he's currently holding on to your title. He just destroyed John Cena. If John Cena is destroyed again in this match, do less kids want to see him at the hospital? Will less people buy his merchandise? No. In fact, it realistically may make him a far more interesting character. The world didn't stop turning when he was feuding with Bray Wyatt and wasn't in the title picture. He doesn't need to be in the title picture. And I what will probably happen, I think, in my mind, is that Lesnar holds on to the belt. Cena is much different than he was in the last contest. They tease a lot of those spots. Brock does beat him down, but we do get Super Cena. But we're probably going to see some sort of nonsense finish where somebody, whoever Cena is going to be with next, sticks their nose at it and Lesnar gets a cheap win. And to me, I don't think you need to do that. I think, you know, Brock Lesnar can go out there, destroy John Cena again, and it will still be shocking. But as long as Cena cuts a good promo coming up the next Monday and you stick him in there with a character that can go back and forth with him, no matter who it is, what is actually lost in all of this? The only thing that you've gained is Brock Lesnar is still even scarier going into whoever he's going to face at Hell in the Cell and as things roll down the line. I just, you know, I understand the need to have John Cena. People that want John Cena to turn heel are fools to me. People who want John Cena to go away are also fools. But people who want more depth to the John Cena character and something a little bit different and out of the title picture, which he doesn't need to be in anyway, that to me makes complete sense. He needs it desperately, badly. I think it was Vic Sosa on his show with Les Thatcher talked about where you look at how WWF looked in 84, then when they had a good run in 88. Shows look completely different. 88 into the 90s, different. 90s, you know, 97. John Cena has been the same way now since basically 2003. The show has been the same forever now, and it needs some. He needs shaking up very, very badly. Again, I understand why they have kid gloves because of all the money he brings in and all the good attention they get out of him. But him losing to Brock Lesnar again is not going to stop the world from turning. And why not keep Brock as deadly and strong as you possibly can? You've screwed this up before. Why continue to do it?
You know, doesn't make any sense. The problem, though, with your argument right there, when you say that John Cena losing to Brock Lesnar again will not cause the world from turning, I know that's right, and you know that's right, and I'm sure that everybody listening to this probably knows that's right as well. But how many times in history has John Cena gotten beaten by somebody? And we all know that the world will not stop turning if he does not get his win back. But you know that every single time he ends up getting his big revenge win back. Every time, Mike.
Or they do what they did with Bray Wyatt, where they have that great series that ends and Cena actually ends on top. And then he goes out there and destroys all three of them the week after he was hurt by Brock Lesnar so incredibly badly. And again, a lot of people out there, most of you do not watch Japanese wrestling, but there's a guy by the name of Hiroshi Tanahashi who's been looked at by the readers of the Wrestling Observer newsletter as the wrestler of the year. He got destroyed in a match and went out and continued to lose matches because he was still busted up from the first match, because that's what would happen in real life. And there's where there's also a big difference, too. There's the WWE universe and then there's real life. And unfortunately, most of the time, you cannot apply real life rules to what takes place inside the universe. And it is it. again, John Cena getting a win over Brock Lesnar does nothing to help anything, especially if your end game at WrestleMania is Brock Lesnar defending the title against anybody. Him having a broken up streak and losing matches, you know, on the way to him holding on to the title before he faces a Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan or whoever it's going to be, nothing is accomplished there.
Well, you know, you mentioned that New Japan does a lot of booking because that's how it would be in the real world. But WWE is, it's not the real world. And in fact, it reminds me of, I think Kevin Sullivan was on Jim Cornette's show. Somebody was just talking to me about this weekend. And Cornette asked him, please explain the Dungeon of Doom, which you've been watching in the 95 WCW, which I have. Perfectly valid question. Please explain the Dungeon of Doom. So Sullivan's explanation, which is ingenious, in fact, was that his job was to keep Hulk Hogan happy. And Hulk Hogan had come from the cartoon land of WWF. And so he created a stable of cartoon characters for Monsters. Hulk Hogan to feud with. And in fact, that is exactly what made the most sense. His job was not to make great television. His job was to keep Hulk Hogan happy. And I'm afraid that perhaps Vince McMahon's job is to keep all of the little kids who can talk their parents into spending money on neon green t-shirts happy. And so that's how it is going to be determined at the end of the day.
By the way, you know what's amazing, too, is my son, who I dragged to, or he dragged me, or actually we dragged each other to the show last week in Salisbury. His favorite show, his two favorite shows, and he likes WWE, don't get me wrong,
2 minutes.
Kingston and everybody else, but he actually likes watching NXT and Ring of Honor, which is, you know, it is, again, he's
probably... You know, it's funny you say that, because Craig's son likes NXT and Ring of Honor as well.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a sign or anything like that, but it tends to keep his attention far better than watching, you know, the stuff on Hulu or watching SmackDown on Hulu. He was far more into. He watched the Enzo Amore big casting. He got the biggest kick out of that, and he loves Jay Lethal and Bob Evans and the Brutal Burgers team and everything that takes place in Ring of Honor. And believe it or not, you know, for the people that they're trying to cater to, at least in my experience, and now I guess in Craig's too, you know, our young sons, who are, I don't know how old his is, but mine is going to be 7 in January, their attention is more wrapped by the wrestling show, which, hey,
well,
who knows?
It's not even so much the wrestling show, but just a show that they can follow week to week that makes sense in their little brains. And NXT and Ring of Honor are both very well written, and you can follow them week to week and get to know the characters and the storylines. And sometimes it's hard to do that in WWE because things come and go. Guys get pushed and then they don't. If you recall correctly, there was that group with, you know, Big E Langston and whoever
Kofi
else.
Kofi and Xavier.
Yeah, Kofi and Xavier. And whatever happened to them? You don't know, apparently, unless you've gone to the house shows. So anyway, we're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. If you have comments, you can call after the break. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Back in just a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, plus radio shows every single day, you can go to WrestlingObserver.com. Usually two shows per day. I got another one coming up tonight. Myself and Vinny are going to be covering SmackDown. And yes, Vinny will be subjected to Total Divas this evening. So we're going to be recapping that. We do two shows a day on the website. If you only hear this show once a week, you are missing out. 1 year subscription, $9.99 a month. You can pay $10.99 and go month to month, but trust me, it is worth your $10.99 if you love audio. Unlike the WWE Network, which only has 2,000 hours of content available, 6,000 hours of audio at WrestlingObserver.com. Every single show we have ever done dating back to 2005 is in the archives. Every big story, every big pay-per-view, Raw, SmackDown recap, and interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, all up there for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you're a wrestling fan, there is no better place to go. Besides the audio, you also get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, the Figure Four Weekly newsletter, archives of both newsletters. You can go back in history. Say you've been watching the Monday Night Wars and you just watched Fall Brawl 1995. Hey, go back into the archives, read the Observer talking about Fall Brawl 1995. So much great stuff. It is only $9.99 a month for a long-term subscription. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you do, you can send me a shout-out after signing up, and I will read it on Tuesday's Brian and Vinny show. 150 words or less, however, is the request. I don't need anyone sending me War and Peace for the Tuesday show. Mike, two things I wanted to talk about. Don't forget, by the way, we're taking phone calls, 855-478-4478. Someone was calling about Impact. I think it was...
Jim.
It was Jim. That's right. And he was talking about, you know, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? And I don't think that, I mean, certainly WWE is not going to pay them anything near what an actual network would pay them. But it is amazing how, as I'm noting right here, I have more stuff in my archive than WWE has in their archive. And it doesn't look like they are adding, I guess they just did add 2 years worth of Nitro. But as I talked about from day one, I don't know why every single Nitro wasn't in there on launch. There should be so much more content in that library. And the idea of, you know, bringing on another promotion, much like UFC is doing with Invicta. They're airing Invicta events on the WWE Network. I mean, would it be that ridiculous, the idea that they would air Ring of Honor pay-per-views on the WWE Network? No, it would not be ridiculous if you looked at this the way that UFC is looking at it. But when I look at UFC and all of the ideas they have for Fight Pass and the different things they show on there and the different events they stream and exclusive events and everything like that, and then I look at WWE and their WWE Network and the amount of content they have, and it's just amazing to me. Two different services going two completely different directions. And while, yes, WWE does have more subscribers, I would almost guarantee that UFC is making way more money off Fight Pass right now than WWE is making off the WWE Network. And I see the UFC Fight Pass numbers continuing to grow. And it seems that WWE is largely stalled out after the international expansion. So,
coming is a UFC app for Apple TV. Now we both have Apple TV.
Great.
And I'm one of those people. If I want wrestling as background music, you know, throwing it on while I'm doing something. If I'm in my office, I won't put WWE Network on the computer. I'll usually have YouTube, a match or promos or something like that on. But when I have the TV on and I use it as background music, I'll throw WWE on. Now with it, the UFC is going to be on there. It allows people, it makes it much easier, because I don't know if you've had streaming problems, but I know a lot of people have had streaming problems with AirPlay leading from the UFC Fight Pass to your Apple TV. That goes away once you get the app, and it should make everything much, much better, and you'll be able to watch things, because there's a ton on UFC Fight Pass that I don't think people realize is on there. They have a ton of stuff on there, little web shorts and things like that, tons of things that are up there that, again, it's not going to, you know, revolutionize anything right off the bat or anything like that, but it'll make it much easier to watch. And I noticed that we started a thread in the forum about the WWE Network at WrestlingObserver.com.
There's a brand new forum dedicated strictly to the network.
And there's a spot for Carl Stern, who's a great historian, literally a professional wrestling historian and a great, great man who I hope is doing okay right now. And I'm looking at WWE, what they've put up on the network as far as the old stuff. And from 1974, I think it is, to 1983, there's like four shows up there. Now, they had tons more shows than that airing on classics. I mean, they have so much footage that is in great shape. They have so much footage that does not need a whole lot of work to be done as far as music and things like that goes to be pulled off of it, and they haven't bothered with it whatsoever. And I understand that it's not the highest priority in the world or anything like that, but they have stuff that goes back to like the 50s and 60s when they were in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is in supposedly a lot of it in solid shape. Why not use that? Why not have that stuff up there? What is taking them so long to do a lot of this stuff? Forget even about that older stuff. Come to the newer stuff. It was great to get the pay-per-views up there, but what did a lot of people who were lapsed fans or hardcore fans, what did they want? They wanted to see Georgia in world class and things like that, and they've been piecemealed up there. And in a case like OVW, they own the entire OVW. I mean, look how that show – you could put that show on there because of how it was aired as a TV show. And granted, it would be guys from 2005, your Batistas and Cenas and Ortons and guys like that. But it is a functional TV show you could actually put up there easily without a problem.
Okay, let me jump in here real quick. First off, they are looking at this project completely differently than the way that I am. And I think that my way of looking at it is better, obviously. They're looking at it as this deal where – okay, we've got this thing, and we want people to pay for it month after month after month. So what we're going to do is we're going to release things around the main renewal period. And that always bugs me because it feels like you're trying to trick people. It feels like you don't have enough faith in your own product so that you have to trick them to sign up for another 6 months. Like, okay, well, we'll sign them up for 6 months, and the next big renewal period is in September. So we're going to do this big pay-per-view in September where John Cena is going to go and try and win the title back from Brock Lesnar, and we're going to put up 200 episodes of Nitro, because then we can trick people into signing up for six more months. And then 6 months in February, we'll release 200 episodes of this, and we'll try and trick people. And to me, it's like, if I'm a wrestling fan, what I would like, you know what would make me sign up for the rest of my life? If you put up everything you had in your library, and granted, I know this would take a long time. They can't just snap their fingers and put up 100,000 hours. But let's just imagine, just for the sake of imagination, that every single piece of footage that WWE had was available on the WWE Network at all times, with more being added every day. As a fan, what that would be to me is my wrestling tape collection in digital form that I would have with me for my lifetime. I would never want to stop paying for that, because everything I would ever want to watch ever, when I have children down the road, hey, young Jimmy, remember when I was a little kid, my favorite match was Bret Hart versus, oh, do I have the tape around here? Oh, I don't need to have the tape because I just go to the network, where everything is up there all the time for me to access. Imagine something in your life that you want to keep forever, Mike, like your photo albums, all right? Imagine if every photograph you'd ever taken in your entire lifetime of you and your child was somewhere where all you had to do was pay $1.99 a month for it, and it would always be there. You didn't have to store it anywhere. You didn't have to have a 20-foot-high stack of photo albums that gather dust in the garage. You had like one little thing that you could open up, and every photo and video you ever wanted from your lifetime was in there. Would you ever stop paying $1.99 for that? Of course not. You would pay for it until
kind
you
of like
died.
I'm doing right, kind of like I'm doing right now with UFC Fight Pass, with Pride and all of those things I had on there.
Exactly.
I'm teach Avery about head kicks.
Listen,
as soon as
I don't sit here and try and fool people into buying a subscription like, hey, everybody, buy a year. And then I won't give you anything for a year. But when your year is almost up, I'm going to give you a little bit of stuff to try and make you sign up for another year. No, everything I've ever done in my lifetime practically is available on this website for you. And I hope that I can find some people that will go, you know what? I always want to have access to this. I remember the Christmas show 2008. That was so funny. It's great to always have it on there in case I lose my iPod or something like that. That's what the network should be. Every wrestling fan's video archive of the history of wrestling. That's always there for you as long as you pay your $9.99. That's what UFC is doing, and they're doing great. Meanwhile, WWE is panicking to get people to sign up every 6 months because they're doing everything the complete opposite way, a very carny way, in my opinion.
Look at how we're talking about how they're booking, and the fact that they can't get out of their own way on it a lot. I mean, they're what a lot of the there's too many there's the wrong visions as far as what they think that their fan base want. They've been right a lot. You know, they've been right a lot more than people give them credit for. With that said, they're completely misreading this. I mean, you have got to give people a reason to go back to that site every day,
or to just keep it.
Well, I mean, but also, I mean, where's the reason to go back and to be completely emotionally invested in watching that network every day? Is it for main event? Of course it's not. Maybe you got somebody sucked in NXT, but where are the shows and the interesting things to keep people coming back every single day to make sure that this becomes an appendage to them that they can't live without and to the wrestling fan that they can't live without? They're not doing that.
Exactly. It should be something that's yours for a lifetime. And everything you could ever want is on it, and you can have it at any time, and all you do is pay $9.99 a month. Think of, like, Dave. And Dave's got, like, that barn out behind his house that has all these old tapes in it. Like, I don't even know what shape these tapes are in. You know, they've been out in a barn. Maybe they're inaccessible right now. You know, maybe they can't even be viewed. But Dave is never going to get rid of those tapes. He will never get rid of them. He's got so many tapes, just like so many wrestling fans will never get rid of their old tapes, and they're gathering dust in
all
a garage.
In
here is a digital version of the ultimate tape library, and you can have it for $9.99. Look at what a sell job I'm doing them for this network, and it's not even the network that we can get.
Forget about $9.99 for them. Just give it to WrestlingObserver.com where you deserve it. And we don't lie when we talk about history, as Dave and I did not lie last night, as WWE will do in their history of WCW series that they're doing, the Monday Night Wars. No, we talked about things the way they happened in the 70s and 80s last night. Fantastic show for members of the site.
Listen, I love the network. There's a lot of cool things WWE Network's doing. I loved NXT TakeOver. I love going back and watching old WCW events, but it's so incomplete that if I were running low on money, I wouldn't buy it right now. I would cut it from my list of expenditures. But if I knew that it was a complete library, I would do everything I could to keep it because I would always want to go back and watch some of this old stuff. But this is another argument for another day. We're going to head to a break, everybody. We will be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And while I spent much time and energy and heartache ranting about the WWE Network, I have to say that the best show I saw last week was NXT TakeOver on the WWE Network. A fabulous little show. I loved it. I thought the main event was great. I thought Charlotte, she just blew my mind with how awesome she was in the ring in her match with it's Bayley. And if you have a WWE Network subscription, you're not watching NXT, I don't know what to tell you. I honest to God don't know what to tell you except that you should start watching it because it's great.
I don't want anybody not to make money in their careers or anything like that, but if NXT just stood as a standalone show and Kenta was there and Pac or Adrian Neville stayed down there and Sami Zayn stayed down there and we got new people coming in like the Kevin Steens and Devitts and guys like that, I'd be completely fine with it. And again, I don't want these guys to not make money. Go to the main roster, do whatever it is they want you to do, and make a boatload of money. But just for my own professional wrestling fandom, it is a great hour-long show and a great two-hour special.
Dude, forget people moving up. I'm excited that Titus O'Neil is moving down.
That's awesome. I need him and Alexa Bliss. More Alexa Bliss in my life.
I'm a big fan of Titus O'Neil, and he has been sent to NXT to have a run likely leading to a championship match. What could be better?
I want Titus Moose Ojinaka tag team in the future to go along with Sweet, or not his Sweet Hansen, my God, to go along with the Last Real Man and Jack Swagger.
That's right. Guys, we are out of time, but don't forget tomorrow is Raw, and Brock Lesnar is going to be there, the go-home show for the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view, and we'll be back later on tonight with a brand new show. Back tomorrow with a brand new show as well after Raw with Dave, so check it out. Thanks, Mike, Jerry, everybody at Sports Byline USA. Back next week with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.